It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A school in Manitowoc had to close for a day last month, not because of a snowstorm, but an infestation of spiders. School principal told news outlets that a teacher and student sustained bites. Call in about what you want to know about the spiders that take up residence in your home. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mike Draney is here, professor in the Department of Natural and Applied Sciences at UW Green Bay. Mike, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks, Kate. Glad to be here.
What did you make of the spider incident at the Manitowoc Middle School?
It's a little bit surprising. Spider bites are often reported, but they seem to be actually fairly rare events. And two people getting bit by spiders at one time in one place, it would be an unusual occurrence for sure.
Do you have to kind of see the bite happening, or is there something on the skin? Like, why would it be rare?
Yeah, so usually a spider bite is much like a wasp sting. Someone feels a sharp pain, and then you see a spider biting you. But that's not usually how it works when people think they're bitten by spiders. Instead, they see a red mark or a dot or a wound or a sore on their body, and then they attribute it to a spider. And that's not really a very good way to do it, because there's so many other things that are more likely to cause those marks on your body. So many insects that like to bite people, and they have good reason to bite people, unlike spiders. And then also there's lots of different kinds of allergies, infections, burns that can cause, you know, these kind of problems on people's skin.
What about the identification of these spiders as yellow sac spiders? What can you tell us about yellow sac spiders?
Yeah, well, certainly that's a reasonable guess if this was a medium-sized yellow spider. But as far as I know, nobody who knows how to identify spiders was shown a spider from that incident. So I'm not certain whether it really was a yellow sac spider or not. There's about 500 species of spiders that live in Wisconsin, and there's more than a dozen species that would live inside in the winter and are medium-sized yellow or tan or light brown spiders. So it's really hard to say which spider it might actually have been from my perspective.
So, maybe an armchair spider enthusiast might not exactly be able to identify this kind of spider super easily.
Yes, that's right. And if you Google yellow sac spider, you will see a photo that may look like the spider that people saw, but there are so many spiders that look very, very similar. And us arachnologists have to look at the reproductive parts of the spiders under a microscope to be sure of which species it is. And as far as I know, nothing like that was ever done. I certainly was not shown the spider.
Well, you know, extermination called in. What would you recommend that a school do in a situation like this?
Well, I mean, to me, it seems like an overreaction to close the school, given the fact that, even one spider bite is a fairly unusual occurrence. I guess I can understand why they did it. It's about human psychology. It's not about the spiders, but it's not very likely that there's really an infestation of spiders in a building. These spiders that come inside your house in the wintertime, they don't reproduce in your house. And they also tend to eat each other. If there's a bunch of them around, they will eat each other and there'll be fewer of them. So they kind of limit their own populations. And so it's not very often that you get large numbers of these overwintering spiders in people's houses. So, you know, I didn't see anything. I don't know what happened there, but I would think that they could have waited for a convenient time to call in the exterminators and not necessarily close the school down.
Talking about overwintering spiders with Mike Draney, who is an entomologist and professor at UW Green Bay. You can join in on spiders in the winter along the way here, 800-642-1234. Mike, before we go any further, can you walk us through like the best way of or the correct way of relocating a spider, you know, say back outdoors if you don't want it inside your home?
Yeah. So, you know, the spiders are, once you see the spider and you know it's there, you know, spiders don't attack you and they don't really have any reason to bite you except for, you know, defensively. So it is pretty easy to kind of corral a spider into a Tupperware container or something like that, get them to run into the jar, put a jar over them. and then maybe place some cardboard in between the jar and the opening, and you can just walk out and dump it out. If you don't want to do something like that, you can vacuum up spiders. They certainly are susceptible to that, and they're not going to come back out of your vacuum cleaner, I'm pretty sure. So yeah, you can certainly deal with them. You know what I do? I just simply leave them all alone. Every time you see a spider in your house, in order for it to complete its life cycle, you know, in your house, they're going to eat, you know, dozens of insects during the course of their life. And so you're actually going to see fewer creepy crawlies total in your house if you let the spiders go.
Can you explain a little bit more there how spiders are helpful in keeping other pest populations in check?
Yeah, I mean, that's what they do. They're generalist predators. They'll eat just any sort of insect that's in the right size range. And that's pretty much all they eat. So if you have spiders in your house, they're going to be eating a lot of insects. And in general, it's going to result in a lot fewer animals in your house.
What are the other types of Wisconsin spiders that might head indoors for the winter or that we might see around the house in the winter?
Yeah. So first of all, there's sort of two categories of spiders here. There are some spiders that live in our houses and reproduce in our houses. And you've probably seen these very long-legged cellar spiders.
Sure.
Those are not from Wisconsin. And they get moved around by humans and they live in our houses and they love our basements. And so they're going to be around all the time. But there are a good number of spiders that seek sheltered microhabitats in the wintertime so that they can avoid freezing to death during the winter. That's how they overwinter, not as eggs, but as either baby or adult spiders. And some of them have this instinct to find cracks in trees and things like that, and they will find their way into your house. You might say it's kind of on accident. They're not trying to find a warm house to live in, but they're trying to find a sheltered spot to survive. And so those ones are just going to mostly be inactive in your house, although if your house is so warm that oftentimes they do wake up and start walking around, maybe looking for a different spot, looking for water, and that's when you'll encounter them. But they're not out to try to bite you. They're just out trying to look for a place to basically, most of the ones are going to be making a little sleeping bag or tent to sleep in, and oftentimes they make that little tent between the wall and the ceiling of a room. And so that's where you often find these spiders hanging out inside of a little silken sack, which is why they're called sack spiders, up by your ceiling.
Well, let's take a call. John in Richland Center. John, hi. What's the question?
Hi. I have a question and a comment. Some people are afraid of spiders. I'm not. And my question is, how does a spider pump spider blood all the way into those long legs?
Thank you, John. Go ahead, Mike.
That's an interesting question. Yeah, so they do have an open circulatory system. So, you know, inside of their exoskeleton, there's blood, just like the caller said. And it's true that it can be difficult to get that blood all the way to the end of those hollow legs. And the spider does have a heart. It's kind of like an open blood vessel that contracts and pumps blood from the back of the spider's body towards the spider's head. But most spiders also have accessory pulsatile organs in their shoulders of their legs. And these muscles will contract and pump blood into the spider's legs. It's not as critical, though, to get blood everywhere in the spider's body because that blood does not carry oxygen like our blood does. It just carries waste products and food and hormones and things. And so the spider gets a lot of oxygen via another route, and it doesn't have to worry about getting a lot of blood when it's running fast or anything like that.
Oh, that's just fascinating. Arachnid researcher, biology professor, UW Green Bay, Mike Draney is here exploring the lives of spiders in winter months. Call in with your questions of all sorts. Share your spider sightings. What happened? 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer. Kent, dozens of spiders temporarily forced the closure of a middle school in Manitowoc last month. The exterminator called in. We called on the arachnid researcher to answer your questions about the life cycle of spiders. Mike Draney's here from UW Green Bay, stays with us. Let's go to Anne in Milwaukee. Anne, hi.
Hi. I'm an elementary school teacher, and we had a specialist come in and talk to my class who were all afraid of spiders. And he was telling them that the spiders can't really bite them because the way their mouth is shaped, kind of like when your apple is too big and you can't get your mouth open enough to bite into it. And so with the closing of that school and all the talk about spider biting, I thought you would be the perfect person to ask, is he right about that? Like, is it difficult for spiders to actually bite the human skin?
Mike, what can you tell us?
Well, I would say that there definitely are spiders that can bite people. And it, in generally, it has to do, I think that the speaker was correct in that very small spiders generally can't bite humans. And so if the spider is, if its body is smaller than about a quarter of an inch, it's really too small to bite people. And so when you see tiny little spiders coming out of an egg sac or something, those are not capable of biting people. But if it's a spider that's larger than about a quarter of an inch, like those sac spiders, or certainly a very large wolf spider or something, they certainly are capable of biting people. Of those, there are some that are very reluctant to bite people. Spiders that live in spiral orb webs generally won't bite people, even if you pick them up with your bare hands. But a sac spider or a wolf spider, if you pick it up with your bare hands, or if it makes its little sleeping bag inside of a glove or a shoe, and then you put your hand in that glove, it may very well bite you. So they bite you, they inject venom. In general, the venom of spiders is not dangerous to people, but it can cause a lot of pain. So it feels like a bee sting or something like that, or wasp sting. There are very few spiders that whose venom is dangerous to humans, and those ones are definitely to be avoided. But for the most part, they don't live in Wisconsin.
Anne, thanks so much. Let's go to Christina in Glenwood City. Christina, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I'm delighted to speak to you. I have a comment and a question. The comment, my sister was going to call an exterminator because she said her son was getting spider bites all over his legs, but it turned out it was a reaction to processed food. So that's the comment. But my question, I've always wondered this. Can spiders run across each other's web, or will they get stuck like insects do?
Okay, well, that's a very interesting comment. And I think that is very common that people think they've been bitten by spiders and then it turns out to be something else. It's oftentimes hard to figure out what that other thing might be. So anyway, I appreciate that story. As far as spiders and their webs, there's a couple things going on. Some spiders don't make webs to catch food. And so those ones can't walk on other spiders' webs any better than an insect can. Those sorts of spiders, many spiders have two claws on each leg, and they basically use them kind of like the hooves of a horse or something to get traction and to run on the ground. But spiders that make webs generally have three claws, and they kind of capture the silk thread in between those three claws. And so that allows them to walk on the web without getting tripped up. The other thing is that web spinning spiders have an oil that they produce on the ends of their legs, and it basically repels the sticky silk that makes up part of the web. And so those spiders don't get stuck in their own sticky silk. So it is possible that a spider could get caught in another spider's web, though, yes.
When you were talking about the vacuum cleaner and sucking up those spider webs, I always wonder if I just leave the spider and I take their web, are they going to make that web very easily, or am I really, kind of ruining their day?
You might be ruining their day, but you're probably not going to kill them.
Okay.
Those orb web spiders, they actually make their web fresh every day.
Huh.
So they'll take it down at the end of the night or at the end of the day, ball it up, and then eat the silk. And that's how they reclaim some of the protein and that the silk, the web is made of. And they also eat little bugs that they can't otherwise eat. But the spiders that live in your house oftentimes make a web and they keep repairing it over time. But taking that web down might ruin their day, but they can make more webbing. And so you're definitely not killing them by removing their webs. And so I say, go ahead and remove all the webs you want.
Good to know. Let's go to Beth in Milton. Beth, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question. I have some fairly large spiders that live in my basement. And every once in a while, I'll come across one that appears to be dead in the middle of the basement floor. And I'll go to grab a Kleenex or a paper towel to pick it up, and it's gone. And so I'm wondering, do spiders play dead?
Do spiders play dead?
Yes, some of them do play dead. It's also true, though, that most spiders spend about 99.9% of their time completely still. Most of them are waiting around for prey to come, and it doesn't happen very often. And so they need to be very still so they're not using up very much energy. They can go without food much, much longer than we can. They can go for weeks or months without eating, but they do that by being still a lot of the time. And so it might be that the spider wasn't really playing dead, but simply doing its normal thing of not moving. And then when you came, you scared it, and then it ran away. But it's really hard to say without having seen the the event.
What about where their bodies go dormant? I think it's diapause. But what is the difference between that happening versus like hibernation?
It's really a continuum. Spiders, they are more active. Their bodies metabolize faster at higher temperatures and slower at lower temperatures. So in the wintertime, especially the spiders outside in Wisconsin's winters, their metabolism is naturally going to be extremely low when it's cold out. Mm-hmm. And in fact, they don't eat during the entire winter. They can't digest food at those low temperatures. So they are going to metabolize very, very slowly indeed. And essentially, that's what diapause is they just, they're mostly inactive. They're alive, but they're not running around. They're not reproducing. They're not even digesting their food. So that's essentially the way that spiders get through the winter, by just having a very low metabolism.
Mike Draney with us, entomologist professor at UW Green Bay. Let's go to Lou in Ashland. Hi, Lou.
Hey, good morning. I just want to thank you for bringing this out. I think spiders are pretty awesome. I did have a fear years ago, but over the years now, I have gained a lot of respect for all the creepy crawlies and our little children of the insect and animal world. And during the winter months, I will relocate a spider if it's going across like an active part of the house, like a counter. Maybe I'm working on something. And I'll relocate them to the furnace room, which is, it just has a furnace and mops and stuff. But a safe place where they can go to, because of course, it's winter, it's snow, it's not going to be good if they go outside. But you know what? They're just trying to get through life just like the rest of us. And we all have to respect each other.
Oh, I love that story, Lou. Thank you so much. Furnace room, spider room. That works, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great story. And it's true that most of the spiders in your house, one of the things they really lack is some water. So if you have a damp basement, that's probably the best place for them. But in the summertime, if you see a spider that you're not familiar with in your house, it's there accidentally, and your house is basically a trap for it. So just catch it and let it outside, and you're probably doing it a favor. In the wintertime, if you throw a spider out in the winter, very likely to freeze to death, because it takes them a few days to cold harden. They have to be exposed to cold but not lethal temperatures, and then they build up antifreeze compounds in their bodies, which prevents them from freezing at 32 degrees Fahrenheit. And if you just throw them out all of a sudden, they don't have that cold hardening, and they will just freeze to death.
That makes me wonder how those extreme fluctuations in temperature affect spiders. When we have a deep freeze and then a thaw and a deep freeze, does that affect spiders?
Yeah, it could for sure. They can become active prematurely. Although I think they're pretty, any spider that lives in Wisconsin has to, be very careful about when they're active. Mm-hmm. You know what I think is the big problem for the spiders with global climate change is that snow is actually spiders' friend for the most part. The underneath the snowpack, there's usually a little melted spot, a hollow space near the ground. And many spiders spend the winter in leaf litter or actually in that subnivian, they call it the subnivian space underneath the snow. Hmm. It's much warmer down there than up where we are above the ground. And when there's no snow on the ground, then it can get very cold on the ground. And that's when the spiders tend to die more often during the winter. So snow is actually the spider's friend for the most part.
Mike, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, it's great. Great talking about spiders with people that are not afraid of them.
Mike Duraney, biology professor, UW Green Bay. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.